God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, 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 and even you. Welcome, welcome, welcome this morning to the Midweek Power Nugget, where 15 minutes of your day can change, will change. God's Word will absolutely transform your life in spite of where you are walking in your walk. God's Word can blow your mind and grace you, gift you with new life. So grateful to God that He has given us this new morning with new mercies, this day with bright futures to be able to study His Word together. Let's pray. God, we love you, and God, we praise you. God, we honor you for just being God. God, we thank you for all that you've done, for giving us our eyesight, our ears to be able to hear, our mouth to be able to speak, the ability of our limbs, God. We thank you for having a choice of clothes and having a place to lay our head last night. God, giving us shelter. And God, we thank you for those of us who have them, having jobs that we're preparing to go to. And God, for giving the rest of us agendas to be able to carry out, and you giving us the breath of life to do that. But God, if you were not God in our lives, God, we speak as Moses, saying that if you're not going to be there, we don't want to go. God, we thank you for being so integral in our lives that we would take of our sleep, take of our prep time, take of even our life to dial in, to give you back what you've given to us, because our lives belong to you. Yes, they do, God. Our lives belong to you. And so us even giving what we think of our time today, God, it's your time. You are time. So, God, we thank you on today for us even having a right mind to come to begin our day with you. God, we're so grateful, grateful, God, that you kept your mind on us all night long and kept your eye on us all night long, keeping us from hurt, harm, and danger, danger seen and unseen. God, you've been amazing to us and towards us, and we cannot cease in giving you praise. God, thank you for these who have assembled on this morning, God. God, I don't know every nuance and detail of their life, but God, you do. God, you can give them the quick history lesson of how you brought them up, how you brought them out, how you've kept them safe and protected, God, how you've kept those that they loved from harm, God. Father, I thank you, oh God, even for every tear that they've cried, God, that you've replaced it with a smile. And God, we don't ever want to forget all that you've done for us, because you've been so gracious and so kind. And God, we thank you for this word, God, this word that we will be studying on this morning. God, we're praying even now that as we study your word on today, God, as we continue to walk through the passion, the sacrifice, the sacrificial love of Christ, God, that you would continue to illuminate this story. Not that you are giving us a story that we're unfamiliar with, but God, let it resonate in a different way. God, as we're studying on sacrifice, as we're living out sacrifice, let it resound itself in our spirit, man, in a different way right now. God, that we will not be able to deny the sacrificial love of Christ towards us. We love you today. We give you praise and honor, and it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Excuse me. Again, we do bless the Lord for each and every one of you who has joined us on this morning to hear what God has to say. On this morning, we go to the Gospel of Mark as we continue our walk through the sacrificial love of Christ. We started with the Last Supper, and on last week, we talked about the betrayal. Now, we are going to touch a bit on the trial of Christ. So, Mark 14, we are going to start at verse 53, right after they left the garden. Mark 14, starting at verse 53. And from the New American Standard Bible, it reads as follows: They led Jesus away to the high priest And all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes gathered together. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the officers and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priest and the whole council kept trying to obtain testimony against Jesus to put him to death, and they were not finding any. For many were giving false testimony against him, but their testimony was not consistent. Some stood up and began to give false testimony against him, saying, "We had heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without hands.'" Not even in this respect was their testimony consistent. The high priest stood up and came forward and questioned Jesus, saying, "Do you not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you?" But he kept silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest was questioning him, saying to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Tearing his clothes, the high priest said, "What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. How does it seem to you?" And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Some began to spit at him and to blindfold him and to beat him with their fists and to say to him, "Prophesy." And the officers received him with slaps in the face. I want to look again at verses 61 and 62 of Mark 14. It says, "But he kept silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest was questioning him, saying to him, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?' And Jesus said, 'I am.'" And I think that's enough. The word of the Lord is blessed. Again, we are going to talk today about the sacrificial love of Jesus shown at the trial. Shown at the trial. We see in this scripture, or we hear in this scripture, that those that gathered together, the chief priests and the elders and the scribes, along with the high priest, had gathered together, and they were trying to get testimony against Jesus to be able to condemn him. But all those that came, that gave testimony, gave false testimony, even those that gave testimony that was close to what it is that Jesus said that could have been considered blasphemy, was not consistent. And so they could not use it in terms of being able to condemn Jesus. And for everything that those that came that tried to give false testimony against Jesus, Jesus did not utter one word. The Bible says that he remained silent. He would not answer, not even when the high priest came and said, "Do you hear what these men are saying against you? And you're not going to say anything." It says that Jesus did not answer. But when there was a direct question from the high priest to Jesus saying, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One, the Son of the Living God?" Jesus spoke right up and said, "I am." And my brothers and my sisters, with those two words, "I am," there was no need to find any other testimony, no need to get anyone else to talk about what it is that they had heard, no other need to be able to try and trump up charges, no pun intended, against Jesus. Jesus helped them out, if you will, by uttering two words that would condemn himself to death. "I am." Now, mind you, you all, it's not as if Jesus had said something that was not true. It was not that Jesus had said something that was disrespectful or insubordinate to the high priest. It was not as if he had said something that was absolutely and completely just putting anyone up in arms, other than the fact of admitting that he was who he is. Jesus did not do that unknowingly. Jesus knew exactly what would occur by him saying, "I am." And my brothers and my sisters, we have to understand that in Jesus knowing exactly what would happen if he answered in the affirmative that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and not only that, but speaking of his future return, when he would come back in power, saying that you shall see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, he then sealed his fate when he affirmed his identity as the Messiah, and that his kingdom was not of this world. You all, this moment is significant. It's significant in understanding Jesus' sacrifice. He doesn't shy away from his identity. He doesn't shy away from his mission. And even when it meant that he would seal the fate of those that wanted to condemn him to death at crucifixion, Jesus spoke up and affirmed that he was who he is. Jesus' trial illustrates what we experience today, the world's rejection of the truth of the gospel, of God's truth, and the cost of standing firm in our faith. We are aware of so much that come against those that believe a certain way. We see the biases against those that have different beliefs, those that are Muslim and those that are Jewish, and even those that not just believe a certain way but have a different culture, those that the attacks against Asians and the attacks against Palestinians right now, the attacks against African Americans, those that get attacked because they have a different gender belief, those that were born female but they believe they are male, those that were born male but they would believe that they are female, those that believe differently than Christians, those that are agnostic, believe that there is a higher power but not necessarily a single entity, God, those that are atheist and believe that there is no God. You all, we understand that believing in something can cause others to look upon you differently, to treat you differently. For some, it can cost you a promotion, cost you the place that you want to live, cost you being able to move up in the world, cost you. But yet and still, when you believe what you believe, and when you know what you know, and when you are who you are, and no person is going to cause you to deviate from what you believe, who you are, where you stand, where you're going, no can stop you from your ascend up to where you are trying to go. The world will choose, can choose, to reject you. But my prayer today is that this passage of Scripture, walking through how Jesus stood firm, knowing what he would face if he uttered the words, I am, if he affirmed who he is, if he stood firm is in his identity and his mission. My prayer is that this scripture will encourage us to stand firm in our faith, regardless of who believes what we believe, regardless of who makes quote-unquote fun of what it is that we believe, that we will stand firm, bearing witness to the truth that Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus rose, and Jesus is going to come again. My prayer today, you all, is that during this time of understanding the sacrificial love of Jesus, that we will sacrifice our ego, our pride, or even being talked about, to stand firm in our faith, knowing that our allegiance to our faith and to Christ may come at a cost. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we do now thank you and we love you today. We love you for sending your Son, and Jesus, we love you for the sacrifice. We pray that we will have the same resolve as we may face opposition and rejection to stand on the truth that you are. Bless us as we go about our day today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Have an amazingly God-blessed day. In Jesus' name.